they tell that story all the time, don't they? And it was, I don't think it was quite as firm as they, people that know me know it probably wasn't that firm, was it? But it was probably firmer is what it was. But, you know, we have a wonderful opportunity because guess what? It's 2014, right? New year. We always, you know, we always have this verbiage that we say, you know, Happy New Year, everybody. And how many know that we have to go from another year to a new year? And sometimes that can be difficult. Do we really believe that we're going to have a new year? Or is it just going to be the same kind of year that we've had? We make these resolutions, and I do that. Does anybody else make them, or you don't want to raise your hand? Do you ever write them down? Marty writes them down. He has them on a paper, and so year to year to year, we go back and we look at those papers that are, I don't like it, but he tapes them to his desk thing. I would rather that he had a bulletin board and they were all organized, but not him. He just takes a piece of tape and sticks it up there. But it's interesting because you get to see the things that have changed and have become new or things that are accomplished. This year I was thinking about the new year and making mental lists and what do I need to improve upon and what can I do better and how can I respond to life in a different way. And I was thinking of all these things, and I've been thinking of, because I'm reading Facebook. Some of you are my Facebook friends. And I'm looking at the posts, and this one post, I was like, you know, should I really answer? Should I put something on there? Because sometimes I just read them, and I go, oh, that's too bad. Or I read them, and I go, oh, yeah, good. And this time, I answered it. The person who will remain nameless, that's in this church right now, said, was feeling overwhelmed. And you know, interestingly enough, I knew what was going on because I had talked to the person about it. And I'm like, really? Ugh. This was my response. Woman, you are confident, you're intelligent, you're capable, you're a godly person. Don't get overwhelmed, get determined, and deal with it. Because it's 2014, and honestly, do you really want to keep dealing with the stuff that you did in 2013, 12, 11, 10? Come on, let's be honest. I'm still dealing with some things that I tried to overcome, and I still have to. And you know, now it's a new year. And we need to make some changes in our life. And I didn't know if I'd get to speak right at the beginning in January of 2014 because I didn't know if Marty would ask me. But he did, so here I am. What came to mind for me was fear holds us back. Fear just seems to tie us up and we keep having this anxiety and feeling of being overwhelmed and issues that take your breath away. Has anybody ever had an issue that came up, boom, all of a sudden, and it just took your breath away? I have. It's like it blindsides you and you can't go forward. And you know what? That's the only thing that you can even think about. You have these issues. Maybe it's with your job instability. Maybe it's going to be with sickness. Maybe it's a death in your family. And maybe it's poverty. And when I wrote poverty, I said, or maybe it's just lack of wealth. Some of us, we're not in poverty like some of the people in the world, but we feel like it because maybe, you know, something shrank, our resources shrank. And maybe we're in worry. Worry can just stop you in your tracks. And it won't let you go any further. It's a really bad fear. And how about career, family, personal issues, marital issues, lack of self-esteem, getting overwhelmed, just like the post said. Overwhelmed. You're stuck, and you feel like your tomorrow will be just like your yesterday over and over again. We forget what the Word of God has to say. It says when fear comes in, God is present there to push that right out. But we forget it because we're sitting there in the middle of these challenges, which, like Ben said, I thought that was interesting. If you didn't have challenges in 2013, well, get ready. You'll probably have something in 2014. So we need to remember that God can push that fear out. 1 John says, "You are of God, little children, and we're all his children. And you have overcome, because he who's in you is greater than he that's in the world." We need to stop being afraid. And it's easy enough to say, but you need to move fear out of your life and believe in opportunity. And sometimes where you're at right now, you don't even see an opportunity. But the truth is, you're probably living in the middle of an opportunity, in the middle of a challenge. The definition of an opportunity is an appropriate or favorable time or occasion. A situation or condition favorable to obtain a goal. All of us in 2014 need to get busy and think of a goal that we need to attain. Maybe even not one. I can think of about five that I'd like to attain. I don't know how I'm going to do them, but if I don't start, I'm never going to do it. Walk forward and deal with the issues that you need to. Ones that keep going over and over and over again. Sometimes we are faced with the same things. And it gets to be overwhelming. I know. I wrote down here, aren't you tired of dealing with issues over and over again that don't get resolved? And on my notes, I swear I have. I am. Because I'm no different than you guys are. Stop seeing the bad and start seeing the good. See the opportunity. See the thing that you need to overcome as a challenge, but you know you can do it. But it all has to start with you. You can't help somebody else overcome. They have to overcome a lot of things by themselves. You know, it's easier for me to see what's wrong with you than it is for me to see what's wrong with me. You know, and you know what? We all seem to have that issue, don't we? At times, things are challenging at the beginning. You know, things are just overwhelming at the beginning, and then you look back and you think, you know what? That wasn't so bad. You know, I got through that. I learned a lot of things. The older you get, the more you can look back and say, I learned something from that, or that wasn't so bad. When you're in the middle of it, it's like, oh my goodness, I can never get over this. I was thinking, telling of stories, I was thinking of Benjamin in particular when we lived in Seattle. And if we talk about Seattle, he'll get teary-eyed. And a couple of months ago, Marty and I have more opportunity to sit together and talk because nobody's home but us. So he said, you know, tell me a time in our life that was challenging, but, you know, we overcame, or what? Tell me a time that was really a great time in our life. And he always says that, and if you know him well enough, he'll say, tell me three things, tell me five things. Well, I got this one thing, and I was thinking, I think one of the best times, the most challenging, and the greatest time was when we were in Seattle. It was the hardest time, I think, in our life because we had to make a decision every day. You know, we had to make a decision, and it was going to affect not only us, it was going to affect our kids and where, you know, could we keep living in the apartment we were in, and finances were tough. But I can look back now and think about how amazing that time was, how the kids would be in bed at the apartment building. We'd go across the street, and we'd just spend time and walk around the track at the school and just spend time talking and being together, and how they had half-priced appetizers at Red Robin. And what a great time that was to be able to go up and just have time together. It was the greatest, and it was the worst. But now when I look back, I don't see the worst. I don't see all the bad times. I almost see more of the better times as time goes on. And I challenge all of you to that too. Whether you're facing things in your family, your kids, your finances, things that everybody faces, you think you're the only one, but I guarantee you there's more people that have gone through these challenges than you can ever believe. So let's see what the scripture has to say and how do we encourage ourselves and see opportunity. Because when we talk to ourselves and we're living in the middle of fear, we're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What if this happens? How many know that the what ifs? We go, what if this happened and what if that happened and what if they say this and what if they do this? We live in that. But a few months ago and several months, I had this challenge. You know, I have the privilege of living with Pastor Marty that just tries to keep encouraging me. But in my mind, I kept rehearsing fear, fear, fear. Finally, I said to myself, Saul, why so downcast? Put your trust in God. And you have to sometimes talk to yourself. And these are the scriptures that just happened to come to me. And I was writing this message out, and it just like, it came out of me. And it's inside of each one of us. We have to remember when we're living in the middle of fear to bring that out, bring those messages out. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And it says, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? We have to remember those. And it says, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, you, meaning you, shall condemn. And then the last one was the one I used over again, over and over and over. The challenge is gone, thank God. I came down front and there was an altar call. And Marty said, if you're, you know, all the, described all the things that I was living through. And honestly, I came down front for prayer. And the next day, it was like a miracle. So when people talk to me that know what challenge I was going through, I say, you know, I don't know why that changed. And I said that a couple of times and Marty heard me and he said, honey, you do too know why that changed. It was like, you know, one day I was living in the middle of trying to deal with this bad situation that, you know, I was overwhelmed. And like on a Monday, it was gone. And Sunday was the thing in between. And Marty goes, you do know what happened. You came forward. You had prayer. And he goes, God heard your prayer. And that's what happened. So you do too know. So now when people say, you know, how's this situation? I go, you know, really great. It's really great. God really helped me. That's what we need to say. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Pray and believe. If we look at the Bible, I can think of so many instances and examples that fear was turned into opportunity. And I didn't like take my Bible and go through this search, like a search of things. This was so in me, I want to tell you. At 5:30 in the morning when we had that snowstorm, I got a text. And when Marty's out of town, you know, I have my phone right there and it's turned up. He can't text me. He can instant message me on Facebook, you know. So I'm like, huh, I wonder what Marty's, you know, letting me know about this. I looked at my phone and one of the tenants had put on, all our water's frozen and blah, 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 and it's, you know, sub-zero. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, you know, they probably can't take a shower. In my mind, that's all I knew. And so I went on my iPad at 5:30 and started looking up all the things. And all of a sudden, this fear got in me. Oh, no, all the pipes are going to break. This is going to happen, and I don't know what to do about it. It turned out fine. No pipes broke. And at 5:30, like the tenants, I couldn't go there. They helped me shut the water things off and whatever. And I thought, this is just the message that I was preparing. And it sounds like a little thing. And some of the things that you go through, honestly, are probably smaller than what you imagine. But they're big when you're going through them. So I was thinking, and I took my paper out, and I started writing these really truths that are in the Bible. And it says, look in the Bible and see examples of fear that turned into opportunity. Sometimes you have to start small and believe for big. And the story that came to mind was the story of the loaves and the fishes, the five loaves and the fishes that fed 5,000 people. And sometimes you have to believe in yourself when no one else does, and it's even your family doesn't believe in you. Look at David and Goliath. David's brothers, they didn't believe in him. But he slew that giant. Didn't matter. God was with him. And sometimes you have to go it alone. You have to leave the crowd. How many people have done that? I thought of Noah and the ark. How would you like to be out there building this huge ark with your family and everybody just making fun of you because who knew the flood was coming? And that didn't take just a day to make that ark. It was a long time. He was taunted. And sometimes you have to try one more time. Some people are going to sit here and say, ugh, I don't know about that message. I've already done that in 2013. I don't know if I want to do this again in 14. You have to. Think of Samson. Samson had lost his strength, and Delilah, they cut his hair, and they found out the source of his strength. And he said, God, if you will just one more time give me this strength. And they took him to the temple. He put his arms. See, if I was in children's church, I would be teaching this differently to you. But think of that story. And then I thought of sometimes you have to make a radical change, a huge change. And think about Saul on the road to Tarsus and the radical change in the man that he became. He became Paul. And that's huge for us. Think of, he was just not a sinner. He was persecuting and killing the Christians. And look at the change that took place in him. If God can do that for Saul to turn him to Paul, do you think he can't do that for you? And sometimes you have to be a leader even when you have flaws that everyone else can see. That can be a tough one. Think of Moses that led his people, a million people across the Red Sea. And Moses didn't want to do that because he didn't speak well. He had, they say, a speech impediment. So Moses was called to lead people and be a leader, and he thought that he couldn't because of how he spoke. But God didn't see that. And sometimes you have to just rise up and be the man or woman, son or daughter, that God expects you to be. And that sometimes can be a big challenge, but that's every place in the Bible, and that's for everyone. Whoever God has created you to be, you have to move forward in confidence. Learn to seize every opportunity God gives you and see it as an opportunity. Let me read you this story in closing. This really touched me, and I've had several people at First Service ask me for this. The 92-year-old petite, well-poised and proud lady who was fully dressed each morning by 8 o'clock, with her hair fashioned and her makeup perfectly applied, even though she was legally blind. She was moving to a nursing home today. Her husband of 70 years had recently passed, and this made the move necessary. After many hours of waiting patiently in the lobby of the nursing home, she smiled sweetly when told that her room was ready. As she maneuvered her walker to the elevator, I provided a visual description of her tiny room, including the eyelet sheets that had been hung on her window. I love it, she stated with the enthusiasm of an 80-year-old who'd just been presented with a new puppy. Mrs. Jones, you haven't seen the room. Just wait. That doesn't have anything to do with it, dear, she replied. Happiness is something that you have to decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how that furniture is arranged. It's how I've arranged it in my mind. I've already decided that I love it. It's a decision that I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in bed recounting the difficulties I've had with the parts of my body that no longer work, or I can get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do. Each day is a gift, and as long as my eyes are opened, I'll focus on that new day with all the happy memories that I've stored away just for this time of my life. She went on to explain, old age is like a bank account. You withdraw from what you've put in. So my advice to you would be to deposit a lot of happy memories in your bank account. Thank you for your part in filling my memory bank. I'm still depositing. And with a smile, she said, remember the 5 simple rules to be happy. Free your mind from hatred. Free your mind from worries. Live simply. Give more and expect less. Don't be a pessimist, as he will see the difficulty in every opportunity. Be an optimist and see the opportunity in every difficulty. That's what Winston Churchill said. I want to submit to you not to fear, not to fear things in 2014. Seize the opportunity and trust in your God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, I pray that this story, especially in the message, will touch each and every person, just like it did me. Lord, it was so easy to put together, and I thought, could this possibly be the message that you have? But I really believe that we need to put fear aside and see the opportunity in every challenge that we have, having confidence, knowing that you're walking with us and you're beside us. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to these people, and as the prayer partners come forward, Lord, to pray with the people, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and have someone to pray with you. That if you need help seizing the opportunity, if you need help not fearing, if you need help going forward in 2014 and knowing that things can be different, that you just have to make a determination every single day, like this woman of 92 in the story did. She made a decision every single day to have a new day. Lord, we thank you, and we thank you for the morning that we've had with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, come forward for prayer.